Hello, everybody. I hope you can all hear me. I am BL Allison. Let me see if I can get smart here and make this big. Yay! Is that a little bit bigger for y'all? Okay. You can see our pictures there. I'm BL Allison, and I live in sunny Florida. On the east coast of the USA, for those of you not familiar with the USA. And I assist Leonie Hodgson. She's the course director of the Great Quest, and she's from Brisbane, Queensland, Australia. I hope I said any of those names right. We're going to be trading off as presenters for this series of webinars, and I'd like to welcome you all to this very first webinar for our Great Quest students. We have a lot of brand new students here. Great to see you. And we have a couple of mentors here too. And in just a minute, I'm going to give everybody the opportunity to introduce themselves. We want to get the feel of the classroom that you've got. You know, these are your co-workers that are in this particular webinar with you. You'll see some of the other ones as you go. You'll see their reports every month as they post their meditation and study reports. So, you know, I hope you guys can build up a rapport with each other and with your mentors. Let's go through a couple of little protocols here first. We have all of you on mute right now. It should be a little red arrow through your microphone. That's to minimize the noise. We get a lot of feedback. We get echoes and stuff, so we just keep everybody on mute as much as we can. If you raise your hand, if we unmute you right after you speak, if you will please put yourself back on self-mute, you can do that just by pressing either one of the little microphone buttons there that you've got. And if you're having problems with echoes, mute yourself first to see if that helps the problem. If not, use the chat box to alert the staff. I'll show you the chat box in just a minute. Okay, you all should have a little a hand over on your panel, on your little dashboard there. What I would like you all to do is click the hand. I want to see your hands all go up so I can see that you all know how to use this function. There we go. I'm seeing most of them go up. Got a couple who, okay. I don't know if you noticed or not, but before you put your hand up, it would be a green up arrow indicating that you have the opportunity to put your hand up. Now I'd like you to put your hand down. It should be a red arrow pointing down that lets you know your hand is up and it's ready to go down. Okay, so most of you, there we go. Okay, good. Hands are working. That's how you use your hands, okay? That's how you ask a question. Or you can use the chat box. It's down underneath the attendees. You should be able to see where you can type in the message, but if you don't, look here and see if it's a plus instead of the minus. And if it is a plus, you just click it, and that will open up that panel for you, and then you can see how you can type a message in for the staff. I have several people on the staff today who are helping me with this webinar. I am logged in twice. I'm logged in as Michael Robbins, as on my main computer. Leonie Hodgson is here with us, and as are Joe and Brett. They're helping with us, so if I'm in the middle of talking, they'll be watching for the hands, they'll be watching for the questions. So thank you to all of you guys, and I appreciate your being here. Leonie, you want to say hi to everybody?
Yes, I would. It's been really lovely communicating with you all, as I have, because I've been closely involved with the enrollments this year, which is a first with me. So I've already had contact with all of you in a sense by email. So it's very nice that you can hear my voice, and that during this webinar I hope to hear yours as well. So greetings, and we all are really looking forward to sharing this journey with you all.
Okay, I'm going to go through now one at a time, and I'm going to unmute you and let you all say hello and introduce yourself and tell us where you're from, please. Andrea, please go ahead.
Hi, my name is Andrea, and I live in Houston, Texas. I am looking forward to take on this journey with all of you, and I am thrilled to be part of this group.
Thank you, Andrea. Bibi, would you like to say hello? Can you hear me, Bibi? Well, I can't hear her. She's from Australia, and maybe we'll try her again in a few minutes. Bren?
Yeah, hi, I'm Bren, also from Australia, Melbourne, and I'm glad to be here and on this journey too with everybody.
Glad to have you with us. Hello, Keith.
Hello, it's Keith. I'm here on the not-so-sunny east coast of the United States in Pennsylvania, and I'm happy to be a mentor.
Wow. We're glad to have you here with us, and we're very glad to have you helping us mentor all the new students we've got this year.
Yeah.
Pamela, would you like to say hello? Well, I can't hear Pamela. We'll try her again in a minute. Patrick, hello.
Hello. I'm Patrick from Sweden. And I'm a bit tired, so it's 1 a.m. in the morning for me. So I'm pumped up to start.
Well, thank you for attending this late. That is pretty late, and I'm sorry for that, and I will tell you that we'll get going in just a minute, and we actually will be recording this, so
I don't mind. It's perfectly in order. I knew this would happen when I applied, so it's quite right.
Okay, thank you, and welcome. Hello, Paul. Would you like to say hello? Okay, not getting Paul. We'll try him again in a minute. Rachel, hello.
Hi. Hi, I'm Rachel from Christchurch, New Zealand, originally from the UK. It's great to meet you. Really happy to be here.
Welcome, Rachel. Hello, Risa, are you able to say hello to us?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Hello, everyone. Happy New Year. Happy New Year to everyone. I'm from the United States, and I'm happy to be a mentor.
Thank you, Risa, for being with us and for mentoring our students. Tracy, are you there?
Yes. Hi, VL. Hello, everybody. I'm from Auckland, New Zealand, and I'm very much looking forward to the year ahead as we journey together on the course. And I'd just like to say thank you to Bill and Leonie.
Glad to have you with us, Tracy. Hello, Walter.
Hello. I'm Walter from Seattle, Washington, United States, and I also have the honor of being a mentor.
Good to have you with us, Walter. Thank you. Okay, let me try Bibi again, and I'm sorry I misspoke. She is from Italy. Bibi, are you there with us? Can you say hello? Okay. And who else was Paul? Paul, are you there? Can you say hello?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, hi. My name is Paul Rodriguez, and I live in Massachusetts, United States. I'm very happy to work with you all. I'm a student.
Well, it's glad to have you with us. So there you go. You guys have met some of your students. And like I said, it's always a good practice to watch the reports, read each other's reports, see what everybody else's thoughts are, see what the mentors say, because everybody comes at their report from a little different angle, and so you never know what insight the mentor is going to have or what question the students may have. So it's always a good idea to go through the campus post when you get it and look at your co-workers there in the Greg Quest. Okay, let's get on with the Constitution of Man, which is what your first lesson is. I don't know how many of you have had a chance to look at your study material yet, but you have study material, you have questions, and then you have some meditations that you'll be doing. And they're all relative to the Constitution of Man. So I'm going to try and present that to you today in this webinar. Basically, understanding ourself is the crux of this ancient statement that you see down here. Know thyself, for in thyself is all there is to know. This was inscribed on a temple in Delphi. I always find it amazing that there's so much more to just understanding about us, the human being, which we refer to as the microcosm. In the journey of discovering about ourselves, we also learn about the universe, which is referred to as the macrocosm, that is in so many ways similar to ourselves. It's just amazing. Life is all around us, not only what we think of as life, but all aspects of our universe. As this slide says here, each form from a tiny atom to a universe is a life, and each form is conscious. So, where are we in this grand scheme of things? As you study, as your study material this month has told you, we all emerge from that one universal life, the essence of who we are. It's a spark of life that's known as a monad, and it flows outward through the universal being via lesser beings like constellations to our own planet and eventually to the person that we become. These greater beings, whose bodies are the universes or constellations, they differentiate into seven expressions that represent seven types of energy. So what exactly are these seven rays? You're going to get into them more next month, but I just wanted to give you a brief overview of them now. As deity manifests at the birth of a new universe, the seven emanations come forth. The one life breathed out or differentiated into seven streams of energies that are known as the seven rays. They provide the entire field of expression for that manifested deity, and they are qualities such as love, devotion, beauty, organization. Each ray has its own note, sound, color, and vibration. They can be seen in the colors of a rainbow and the seven notes of a musical scale. Lots of examples of seven can be seen: 7 days of the week, seven deadly sins, seven wonders of the world, seven chakras, the seven glands. Of these seven rays, three of them are major rays of aspect. Ray one, the Lord of power or will. It's the ruler of life and death. It's a boundless power. It's hard. It can be destructive, but also germinating force, the seed of new life. Its motion is to drive straight forward through space. Ray 2, love wisdom. He's in close touch with the heart of God, and he's the embodiment of pure love. It's the most potent of the seven rays in our particular solar system because it is the ray of our solar logos. It colors and directs all consciousness in all forms, in all kingdoms of nature, and in all fields of development. It carries the life through the range of forms in that basic surge or urge for attainment of bliss and through the satisfaction of desire. Ray 3, Lord of Active Intelligence, his work is more closely linked to matter, whereas Ray 1, it was linked to spirit, and Ray 2 was the bridge between them. It's boundless, uncontained mental energy, fertile, adaptable, and multiplying quickly. It gives that primeval intelligence that's found in all substance. It's in the body nature. The lower rays are all expression of this third ray. The four minor rays are considered rays of attribute. They're qualified by characteristics of the third ray, which eventually synthesizes them as they move back up. Ray 4, the Lord of harmony, beauty, and art, also harmony through conflict. He creates beauty, combines sounds, colors, words, music, in order to express the intention of God on earth. Ray 5, concrete knowledge and science. He's in close touch with the mind of God. Psychological unfoldment in man is due to this ray influence. His influence is waxing in power. It's building. It's just coming into manifestation. The rays, they have cycles. It's like incarnations where they come into existence and they're strong in their expression, and then they fade out again. Ray 6, the Lord of Devotion and Idealism. This one is just waning. He's fading out now, and he's taken his militant idealism with him. Ray 7, the Lord of Ceremonial, Order, and Magic. It's now coming into power, cycling in. In its earlier and lower manifestation, it's regimentation that takes place on Earth. It's the rise of the military tyrants and despots and everything that we see around the world. That's part of this at its lower level. Okay, so now we know what they are. We know that they provide the expression of God in their sevenfold vibration. And we know that our solar system is Ray 2, right? So back to our solar system. Universes have constellations as their chakras. Solar systems have planets as their chakras. And all of these relate to the energy center or chakras that human beings have. The planets within our own solar system have different rays that are associated with them. Vulcan and Pluto both transmit Ray 1. The Sun and Jupiter transmit Ray 2. The Earth and Saturn transmit Ray 3. Mercury and the Moon transmit Ray 4. Venus transmits Ray 5. Mars and Neptune transmit Ray 6. And Uranus transmits Ray 7. But as I said, you're going to be studying more about this later on this year and next year. Now that we understand the importance of the number 7, let's go back and look at the universe again. When the absolute or one life manifests, his body is the universe. This is the form that he manifests in. He has seven great cosmic levels or planes, seven worlds or consciousnesses in which he works. We can look at them as levels or steps, like I've got here, the highest step down to the lowest step, or we can look at them as concentric circles, like I've got here. This is the innermost, the most rarefied, this is the outermost, the most dense. So we can look at them in both of these ways, but really it's not so clear-cut. There are no lines of demarcation. They actually interpenetrate each other. But whatever way it works to get you to understand it, moving up the ladder or going progressively further inside to the essence of who you are. Okay, so those seven planes have seven subplanes each that mirror what the main planes are. So they all have a subplane, logoic, monadic, atmic, buddhic, mental, emotional, and physical, or some correspondence thereof. So of the seven cosmic planes, what we find is our solar system is down here on the lowest cosmic plane. It's contained within the cosmic physical plane in its seven forms of differentiation. So, those seven planes are the body of our solar logos, and we are all part of his body, this particular solar system. His consciousness is at the highest level, right here. And ours is way down here. This is probably a little too advanced of a chart to be showing you right now. I mean, let's face it, we don't expect you to pick up Treatise of Cosmic Fire, which is where this came from, and understand it right from the get-go. But I wanted to show you this because it's something that you're going to refer to over and over and over again as you get deeper into the Alice Bailey books. Here's what we've got down here. We've got the personality. This is the physical, the emotional, and the lower mental body is the personality. And as we become higher, more evolved spiritual beings, we work through the spiritual triad, which is the highest mental, the buddhic, and the atmic planes. And then here's the monad. Remember I talked about that monad, that spark? This is where it is, way up here. This is the vehicle of the monad. These are vehicles of the soul. So that's why I wanted to show you this in the context of that. And here's the egoic lotus. If I can get my little, here is the soul right here on the higher mental plane. Okay, this is the same chart. We just have a little different information on it here. All right. The average human is working on these three lower planes here. Okay. Unevolved primitive man was considered Lemurian consciousness. They were working on the seven planes of the physical plane. They had to coordinate the physical body in all of its way. Let me go back here just a minute. I want to show you something. We're actually working on the lower 18 planes here. We've got the seven planes of the physical, which is divided into two different parts. The physical part is the lower three. The top four is considered the etheric. Okay, the etheric consists of our nerves, circulatory system, and our chakras. The mental plane is also split into two, the lower mental and the higher mental. And of course, the soul is on the higher mental. Okay, and we're, as average humans, we're working on these lower 18. Okay, seven here, and the four here. All right. Now, back here again. Okay, so these, These right here are the lower 18. We started out developing the physical attributes, the unevolved primitive man with the physical instincts, and we needed to develop the seven layers of the physical plane. Remember, everyone has the seven sublayers. So those were our senses, hearing, touch, sight, smell, taste. Those were the things that we were developing and coordinating them into the human being back in Lemurian times. We learned to coordinate the body, the energy system of the etheric body developed, and eons later in Atlantean times, humanity developed the next plane upward, the emotional plane, the emotional body here, okay, Atlantean times. Finally, humanity reached a point where the mental field was being developed, the lower mental body was being developed. We became mentally alive, an advanced, intelligent man that we refer to as the Aryan consciousness, not to be confused at all with Hitler's version of that word. And this is where average humanity is today, between these two, between the astral and lower mental. That's what we're working on. Our goal is to become soul conscious, like aspirants, disciples, and initiates, working on developing that soul. Christ, the world teacher, he's way up here. He's at monadic levels. He's taken the sixth initiation, possibly higher, but this is what he's working on. He's working on the monadic consciousness he's aware of and working towards the divine plan of the planetary logos. Masters of the wisdom, right here, they have that fifth initiation. They're working at atmic consciousness, and they actually have the full consciousness of the spiritual triad. Remember I mentioned the spiritual triad up here? That's what masters have. They have the full consciousness of this higher mental plane, the Buddhic plane, and the atmic plane. They have this spiritual triad alive and well as a vehicle that they're using for their monadic expression. Arhats are Buddhic awareness. They've taken the fourth initiation and are working on the fifth initiation. So this is the level that we see of average man down here, advanced, mentally conscious, and upwards to Arhats, masters, and even the Christ. Okay, let's look at it again a little different way. Here's the seven cosmic planes. Remember, our solar system is down here, the seven subplanes of the cosmic physical plane, and we're working on these three down here at the bottom. Physical plane, our physical body, our sensorial reactions, our actions. This is the body that we act with. Astral plane, astral body, emotions, desires. This is the body that we feel with. Lower mental, ideas, concrete thoughts. This is what we think with. But we have that higher mental. It's the ideals and abstract thoughts. This is our consciousness. This is what we evolve with. These are all the vehicles of the soul. Our personality, these ones down here, consists of the three lower vehicles. The personality is when we've coordinated all three of these and they're working tightly together. That creates the personality. Okay? It's the physical etheric, which is our energy, our vitality, our physiology, morphology. It's our nervous system. It's even our brain, the physical brain. The emotional or astral body, it's our desires, our feelings, our fears, happiness, hopes, sensitivities, anxieties, compulsions, attachments, being in love. And then the mental body, how we think, how we process information, how we organize material. Do we do it logically, sequentially? Do we do it in a circuitous manner? Are we flexible? It's the seat of our visualization and our creative imagination. So this is the personality, the lower 18 planes. This is the spiritual triad, atmic, buddhic, and higher mental. And here we go again. Our spiritual goal is actually union. And that's why I'm telling you about the human constitution. The first thing we want to do is get these three puppies here working together in an integrated personality. And then we look for union between the personality and the soul. We build that pathway, the antikarana, between the personality and the soul. Down here it's selfish, personality-oriented behavior until we build some connection with the soul and create that union to where the soul directs the personality. And finally, it's going to be a union. We build the higher antikarana between the soul and the spiritual triad. This is actually the soul-infused personality, the personality working at the direction of the soul, and both of them working more increasingly more for the spiritual triad, for the monadic impression that we're getting at this higher level. That's what we're doing when we're meditating, is we're trying to build up this antikarana, and we're trying to achieve the union of these vehicles together. So this slide kind of ties in the three rays of aspect. The first ray, will and power, the second ray, love and wisdom, and the third ray, intelligent activity, with what we've been talking about concerning the physical vehicles, concerning the soul, and concerning the spiritual triad. See how we've put all the pieces together here? The monad, that one spark of who we carry with us, the immortal and eternal principle that carries forward with us. The vehicle of it is the spiritual triad when we can work at those higher levels. The soul, the ego, egoic lotus, actually, which is what we've got here, the solar angel, those are all considered part of this second aspect of love wisdom that bridges the spirit and matter together. And then the body aspect, the matter aspect, the personality aspect, which is, as we've been talking about, the lower mind, the emotional nature, and the physical etheric body. Again, here's the antikarana that we're building. Let me see, I think I've... What? Okay, sorry about that. Lost my place. The two antikaranas that we have to build here, the one from the lower mind to the higher mind, and once we get that done, from the soul to the spiritual triad. So, we use meditation to achieve the union, first via the lower antikarana and then the higher antikarana. And the method that we do that is Raja Yoga, or achieving union through the mind. In other words, the goal of Raja Yoga is to quiet the mind so it can hear the soul and realize the true inner self. We can see here that the human kingdom is like our own antikarana. It's a bridge between the lower kingdoms in nature and the higher spiritual kingdoms. And the soul, the causal body, is actually informed by solar angels that are that link within us. when human beings individualized and actually became human, it was because these spiritual beings planted little fragments of themselves in the minds of the animal man. These sparks of the divine flowered slowly, becoming the seat of our soul, our causal body, or as we refer to it, the egoic lotus. The solar angel builds our egoic lotus out of its own substance, and it dwells within for eons until we raise our consciousness enough to actually unfurl the petals of the lotus and find the jewel that's hidden at the center. This solar angelic substance is the I-ness that makes human self-conscious. The egoic lotus is developed by both the solar angel and the personality over many, many lifetimes as we develop a mutually enhancing relationship with our soul. So we start off first working as personalities who are selfish, and they exhibit negative characteristics like you see here listed under the column for personality characteristics. But slowly but surely, over many, many lifetimes, our soul qualities emerge, and we begin to become more selfless and show mostly the positive qualities that you'll see over here. Developing the soul is like cultivating a garden. You have to take ourselves in hand, weed out the bad behavior, and cultivate the higher qualities until they become second nature to us. We choose a quality that we want to cultivate, and then we work on it. We act like that quality already exists within us. We keep it in the forefront of our consciousness and imagine what it's like to use this quality, then we do so to the best of our ability. After careful cultivation, it actually becomes a part of us. And practice makes perfect. So if by acting as if this is who we are, it eventually becomes who we are. Okay, that concludes all the material that I wanted to go through with you. You guys do have your study material. There's a lot more in that. And we did make a recording of this presentation. It's going to be available in a day or so for download for Great Quest Level 1 students only and their faculty. So if any of your classmates missed it, they can view and watch it, or you can watch it again. And I'm also going to attach the slides so you'll have notes to make any reference. Now, I was kind of watching. I didn't see any questions the whole time I went through this, but does anybody have any questions? Is there any slides that you'd like to go through in more detail? Well, this is going to be the fastest webinar we've done so far. There we go. Please go ahead, Paul.
Hi, I have this question. For us who study in the Moria Federation and those who seeking the spiritual path, where will be located in the evolution of man, as you show earlier in the chart?
Where are we located? Is that what you're?
Yes.
Well, I think we all are going to fall somewhere here, okay? Well, somewhere between here, here, and here, all right? We're working on, many of us are still working on the developing our mind. We're still working on completely mastering the astral body. The first initiation is right here when you master the physical plane. The second initiation is mastering the astral plane. And the third initiation is mastering the mental plane. Okay? So most of us are somewhere between, we've probably taken the first initiation and we're working on the second, possibly the third, but somewhere in this neighborhood. Is that the question you were asking, and did I answer it for you?
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay. Yes, Patrick, go ahead.
I have a question about the Solar Angel.
Yes.
And you said it took a piece of its own substance and created the egoic lotus, and that is how we become self-aware, or was it something like that?
Yes, something like that.
Yeah.
That's it exactly. It's a small spark of itself within our egoic lotus. And the solar angel and our soul develop it together.
But my question is, when we open the petals and the jewel and discover the jewel, is the jewel our own, or is it the solar angel's essence that is that we let go of, or how does this work?
The solar angel eventually leaves us when we reach the point that we no longer need it. Okay, so it was there and it helped us create the egoic lotus, but when we've opened the lotus completely and the jewel is exposed and fully operational, then we no longer need the solar angel.
So that means that it goes away and do other duties, of course.
Yes, it goes back to its, the solar angels came from the sun.
Yeah. I'm curious, does it bring along its own energy, or has it given it to us forever, or has...
It gave part of it to us forever.
All right, thank you. That was more or less my...
Yes. It gave part of it to us forever, and we matched that energy. We rose to the occasion, so. But it helped us out for all those times as it was developing.
So that means, just giving it forward a bit, depending on the solar angel and the aspects they imprinted, we have different paths to go.
Yes, and that relates to the seven rays.
All right.
It depends on what our soul ray is. It depends on, what our monadic ray is when we're able to reach that level. Yes, so we're all going to have these different slants to who we are, what we're good at, what our soul work is.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That was a very good question. Any other questions that we've got? Any comments? Go ahead, Andrea.
How does one build the Antahkarana? What is the process and what does it entail?
What it entails is the proper form in meditation. Sitting with your back straight. They usually advocate that you sit in a chair, your feet on the floor. You want to be comfortable, but you want to have your back straight so that you create that alignment. Think of a water hose. You know how if it gets a kink in it or if it's not working properly, the water isn't going to go exactly right. Well, that's the same with the energy up and down your spine. You're going to create this Antahkarana. You're going to build it slowly through practice, through aligning your three lower vehicles, the physical, astral, and mental, for the work of the soul. And you're going to imagine that you're building that Antahkarana in your mind, that you're bridging from the lower mind to the higher mind. Just picture building it. And every time that you sit down in meditation, every time that you feel the alignment, that you know that you've made that alignment, that you've visualized that alignment, you're doing many things. You're strengthening the Antahkarana as you're slowly building it. You're building up this sacred space by using the same room to do your meditations. And your body is getting used to this, so that while it may take you a little while to get used to it, once you've gotten used to it, you rapidly go through and get yourself aligned, and you're sitting there waiting for the seed thought of the meditation that you're going to be using. That's what the union is. You know, it's a union of those vehicles so that the full expression from the soul can make it down into the conscious mind, and then further down into the actual brain, so that again all three bodies are working consciously together. It's like the right hand knowing what the left hand is doing, at the direction of the soul, that inner voice. Okay, does that answer your question?
Sure, yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and well, I'm not able to unmute you, Tracy. I'm trying. Tracy, are you on self-mute? For some reason, I cannot unmute you, Tracy. Okay. Question. Okay, I got a question here from Bibi. So you were suggesting us to work on the soul qualities using the method acting as if. Yes, I am. And you're going to see that, Bibi, in your meditations. You're going to be given meditations that work on obstacles to union, that work on developing the rules and the commandments. You're going to see that this year and next year. And they're going to help you in developing the soul qualities, and they're going to show it to you. The information comes from the light of the soul, the sutras in the light of the soul. So yes, that's, you're going to be working on that in the meditations that you're going to be doing. Okay, Tracy, not on self-mute. What is the soul fragment of intelligence planted in man's mind? How do we feel this? Well, the soul fragment, that was the solar angel, the fragment that was planted in man's mind that helped the animal man individualize, and it's waiting there to be developed with the solar angel. And how do we feel this? You feel it when you achieve the proper alignment in your meditations, when you have soul contact. You know, a lot of people, when they meditate, they will see things. They'll see things happening, and then they know. Some people feel things. I feel it. I can feel the alignment. I can feel the strength of the alignment. Sometimes it's better than other times. So that's just part of the process. So I hope that answers your question, Tracy, and I'm so sorry. Don't know why. I was not able to, I'm still not able to take you off of mute. Okay, Patrick, I've got all kinds of questions coming in now, thank you. Patrick, the sutra, it's just, it's a little, it's like a little verse, it's a little, it's the teachings. The light of the soul is a transcription of another book. The sutras of I'm gonna mess up his name, Patanjali.
Patanjali.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So they're older Indian, and the little paragraphs, the little stanzas that they use are called sutras. But basically, you're going to get into that. That's what's going to be your meditation program as you go through this particular book, Light of the Soul. Okay, Tracy is asking if when you feel the soul, if it's like a sense of peace. Yes, it can be, but that's not the object of this particular kind of meditation. This particular kind of meditation is it's using the mind. It's developing the higher mind. It's developing the abstract mind. So it's not just about sitting there feeling peaceful and at one with your lower self. It's aligning with the intent of the soul. So you're going to be, you have the seed thoughts in the meditation, and that's what you're thinking about, and you try and keep the mind's chatter. You know how the mind chatters. It always goes off on tangents you don't want it to go. Well, you want to keep it focused. You want to keep it right there on the seed thought that you're working on, and you want to try and discern what the soul is going to tell you, how it's going to expand your thinking on that particular subject that you're looking at, whether it be one of these sutras that talks about ridding ourselves of hatred, or that talks about keeping the commandments, right speech, right thought, right action, the various different things that you're going to go through as you study over the years. Focused expansion with new insights. Exactly, Tracy. That is the way that the Raja Yoga meditation is going. That's the whole purpose, is this focused expansion with new insights. Very nicely put. Okay, let me see. I've got something else blinking. Okay, when you say you're feeling things, do you mean energy going up your spine as if it's traveling up? No, not really. I mean, when I think of the way you've said that, I think of the Kundalini rising, and no, it's not that. I literally feel, you know, like the physical body, the core, the center of my body, I feel that, and then I feel the heart between the shoulder blades expanding as, you know, I align the astral, and then I feel my head buzzing. I guess that's not a good way of putting it, but I feel a tingling in my head, mostly around the Ajna region, and that they all just align with me, you know, my physical, my astral, and my mental body aligned with the work of the soul. And if I'm lucky enough, I feel that egoic lotus up there, the crown above the head. But like I said, I'm still a work in progress, so I don't always achieve the best alignment, but I act as if, and I do my best. Okay, I see another hand. Oh, I'm sorry. Was that you were just waiting because your hand was up and we hadn't gotten to you yet, Andrea? Was that, or do you have another question?
No, I just wanted to know if that's, I mean, if that's what you meant by feeling things.
Yeah,
it's part of the alignment process.
Yeah, you know, they have words for it, and people have different kinds of sensory. You know, some people are auditory, they hear things. Some people are vision, you know, they see things. I don't see things and I don't hear things. I'm the other kind, the kinesthetic or something. It's got a term. I feel the things happening. So, but there's a physiological term for it. I'm sorry, I just can't think of it right now. Okay. Very nicely done, guys. We had some great questions there. Is there anybody else that has another question or comment before we close this webinar out? Okay, I don't see any more questions. I don't see any more hands. So,
Risa made a remark I just saw in the question.
Oh, some feel nothing. We are to focus on intention, and then the alignment occurs all by itself. If we are not to look for outer manifestations, yeah, that's true too. It's going to happen in different ways for different ones of us. So, yeah, you may feel nothing at all, and you don't need to look at that. Just as Risa said, just work on the intention, okay? Think of it, and however it makes the most sense to you, follow the meditations, the outlines in the meditations, and it's going to come to you naturally.
Could I just add that, it's Leonie here, that sometimes in deep meditation there is a sense of real bliss when you touch these beautiful thoughts and you manage to go through them, that you do have a sense of a real bliss, and that is something that may come, and eventually we are told that we can live in that a type of energy and hold our consciousness there, but for most of us we're still in the process of building the bridge, and so it will take a while before we manage to live in such a world that perhaps the initiates and masters live in. Sometimes we can recreate that in our meditations, or perhaps at other times that feeling of bliss and absolute oneness and union with the world. There is a feeling there. Getting to that point is through the mind and through the practices which you have been given in your meditations. That's all I wanted to say, Bill.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Very good point. And I think that you guys will notice that yourself. You know, it's one thing to sit there and do your meditations and to learn all about it and to study it individually, and to know that you have 15, 20 other people working on the same ones with you. But the minute you attend that full moon meditation with Michael and 100 some odd people attending it, you just, that energy of all of you right there, you feel the difference. You really do. And that reminds me of what you're talking about there, Leonie. It can take you higher, and you can just feel the mass energy that's going on at that particular time. So, okay, then, if we have no more questions, and I don't see any, I would like to thank you all. This was a great webinar, and this is what we're hoping to have with these webinars. We're hoping to have a good interaction between you guys and with us, okay? So thank you all for attending.
And I hope you all turn up for next month, which is on the first one on the rays, which I will be facilitating. Nice to have heard all your voices, or
yes,
most of your voices. That's all, Gail.
Okay, thank you, and thank you all for your comments and everything. So, all right, I'm going to be ending the webinar now. Good night, everybody, especially you, Patrick.
Yeah, bye, everyone.
Bye.